Someone should say that.
Give it the good, like.
Deep. So what is it? What is it? Acme Comics and Records in Columbia, South Carolina.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
I feel like we're just a bunch of guys that read comics or sitting around talking about comics.
Does the iconic woman character for DC Comics have to be dressed like a hooker?
The formula is real simple, you know what I'm saying? I've said it before. Good writers, good artists, good book.
Nah, he's a ridiculous character, man.
It's all about story. You don't need superheroes to have a good comic. I'd like to welcome everybody to Splattercast. We've got four of us here today. We have Flacco over here on my left.
How's it going?
Flacco, we are sponsored by who?
We're sponsored by Acme Comics, which also happens to be where we're casting from. And I think we got some cool stuff to talk about. We got Brian over here. Brian.
How's it going? Might see me posting in places like Newsarama and Stomping Grounds for your comic book information. Posting the name Ison, which is also my last name, oddly enough. And I'm just delighted to be here.
Yeah, I don't post at Newsarama. And Adam?
Yeah, I'm mainly here just to record and edit this monstrosity, but I'll see what I can come up with to throw in here and there along with everybody.
On this podcast, we're going to talk about Stan Lee and his new gig he's got going on, and also collecting comics. Is that right?
That's what we're right. Talking about?
And we might even mention what's coming out this week.
Did we mention Phil?
Did we mention Phil? How could we not mention Phil?
Mention
because
Phil?
None of this would be possible.
Phil.
Without the mighty Phil Crouch, who is just a fantastic person. And
a young whippersnapper.
We wish he was here, man. We wish Phil was here. We miss his beard. I think I speak for everyone when I say we miss his beard.
I miss his beard. Miss his beard.
He's not a pretty man. It's hard on the eyes. I think that's fair to say.
It's got a good smile, though. It's a real pretty smile.
But yeah, Acme's a cool place. 2757 Rosewood Drive, if you're ever in Columbia, South Carolina.
Home to more than just comics.
Home to more than just comics.
Records,
that's true.
DVDs, CDs.
That's true.
All right, so Stan Lee
just came out with
Stan the Man.
Stan the Man Lee. Stan the Man Lee just came out with
Father of Modern Comics.
Father of Modern Marvel Comics. He just came out with I hesitate to call it a line or a series of comics. Stan Lee Meets. I think the first one was Stan Lee Meets Spider-Man. I think Stan Lee Meets Doctor Strange just came out. There's several more. Okay. Scheduled to be put out. And, you know, what can you say about Stan Lee? I guess the history lesson is Stan Lee started at Marvel Comics at the very beginning. I think he was a young guy working, just running stuff for people, the writers and artists and whatnot. And I think eventually the company started losing a bunch of money and they started firing a bunch of writers. And this young kid just kind of stepped up to the plate and started writing comics.
Right.
And
started hitting home runs.
Started hooking up with some, you know, amazing artists and producing some stuff that has lasted, since the 50s. I mean, it's hard to, when you look at the catalog of characters that Stan Lee's created and how long they've been around and compare it to, you know, characters that have been created in the past 30 years. I mean, Stan Lee created pretty much, you know, the core of the modern Marvel universe.
Now,
I mean, that's fair.
A lot
to say,
of people say
it?
That Jack Kirby.
That's
are we gonna
true.
Are we gonna discuss
oh,
that at
yeah,
all? We're just
is.
Gonna like not
no,
acknowledge
no, no,
that tonight.
No. We are going to discuss Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko because you have to give Stan Lee all this credit for this stuff. I was trying to like, you know,
build
give,
to it.
Give like right. a biography of
before
Stan
you just started
stuff.
Ripping
right.
shamelessly
correct.
Into him.
Correct. Yes, but no. Stan Lee created. Let's go through the list. You created
yeah, Spider-Man.
You got Fantastic Four, yep. Which had. The longest run on a monthly comic book in history, except that just got shattered by Bendis and Bagley.
Talking about
on
creators,
to, yeah,
writer
yeah,
and
between,
artist combo.
Right. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby did, I believe it was 108 issues of Fantastic Four in a
something
row.
Something like that.
And along with, he created Spider-Man with Steve Ditko, created Thor with Jack Kirby, created
the
original
line
the
original
of the X-Men, created the Incredible Hulk, Doctor Strange, the
pretty
Silver Surfer,
Dr.
much
Doom.
The foundation of the
right.
whole Marvel
Doctor
universe.
Doom, yeah,
X-Men.
Not to mention the other characters, Magneto, all that stuff. I mean, he, you know, Stan Lee is
really. There's a very good argument that Marvel does not have any long-lasting characters that have both made money and been successful that doesn't have Stan Lee's name on it.
Right. Yep. I'd agree to that.
Which that in itself is pretty amazing, because if
sure.
you look
I
at
mean, you know,
if you look at DC and all the different people that have created comic book characters, I mean, right. they're kind of all over the place. Marvel is basically like Stan Lee University.
Right. I think as time went on, I think throughout the end of the 60s and the early 70s, I think Stan Lee's role in the company got scaled back a little bit, I think, as far as like in terms of creativity, and I don't think he was creating as much stuff. And I think it just sort of progressed. I honestly am like kind of ignorant as far as like what Stan Lee did in the 70s, you know, but I know that like throughout the 80s, he was really more of a figurehead.
I think for a long time he's been a figurehead for Marvel and Check Casher.
Just sort of the face of Marvel Comics. And
but even that's largely diminished. I mean, he's had legal battles and other issues with Marvel where they wanted to be not so closely affiliated.
Right, wasn't it the mid-90s when Marvel and Stan Lee started going back and forth and whatnot?
And
he wanted to break away and got a chance to do some stuff on his own.
Well, I think some of the breaking away is interesting, because depending on who you talk to, some of it's Stan Lee wanted to be a creator and Marvel wasn't really interested in publishing anything by Stan Lee. Even had Stan Lee doing something for DC Comics, which people would think would never happen, but he did that series for DC where he basically reimagined some of the iconic DC characters as he would have thought they would have been, and it was crap, but he still did something
for
bad.
DC. That was really bad.
Let's hang on to and I think he did that, and I think after he did that, I can't remember if it was after or before that, but I know he has attempted to do some stuff on his own, including web comics. I think most notably, opinion, was a bunch of webcomics starring the Backstreet Boys.
Pamela Anderson?
He also did Stripperella with Pamela Anderson.
He did the Backstreet Boys comic, this sort of online Backstreet Boys comic. I'm pretty sure I remember
Stanley.net, and it's not there anymore.
At some point,
I'm pretty sure at some point,
there was Burger King toys of the Backstreet Boys, like, and each Backstreet Boy was a superhero, reimagined as a superhero. So they were.
Yeah.
What do you mean reimagined? Aren't they really superheroes?
Don't get me started. And then I love the Backstreet Boys.
He had his Spike TV show, Stripperella, starring Pamela Anderson.
Very short lived.
And I think the latest one,
the reality show on Sci-Fi Channel.
That's right. Who wants to be a superhero? And not to mention his multiple cameos and, you know, all the Marvel movies and, you know, his giant cameo in Mallrats, which sort of like solidified his status as far as like, you know, fanboy, you know, culture and whatnot, you know. So I don't think there's anyone that could possibly argue that, you know, Stan Lee's body of work isn't among the most impressive in history when you like put it all down, you know.
I mean, he's really the biggest icon that iconic person that comic book has.
And you know, if you listen to like guys like Brian Michael Bendis, you know, I mean, those guys will defend Stan Lee to the death as far as what he brought in terms of making, you know, heroes flawed, bringing, you know, these weren't gods. I think Chris had been making the point that like a lot of the DC characters were, you know, gods in the Marvel characters. I mean, it was Stan Lee that, you know, came up with the dichotomy of the Spider-Man stuff that works. The best Spider-Man stuff was, you know, the Stan Lee stuff, and I just cannot ever question those credentials. However.
Here we go.
But.
However, I think that comics are different than they were back when Stan Lee was doing stuff. So the things
comics or is it people?
Well.
Because I think it's people are different.
Yeah, how about it's like entertainment? You know what I mean? It's
I guess
are watching, you know, really sophisticated things, you know.
The medium changes as the people change.
The medium
so it's both.
Changes, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, this was an industry that sort of, you know, fed its own creators and whatnot, and fans generally, you know, work hard and become creators, and you know, now it's becoming, you know, where they're bringing a lot of people outside of comics into comics. So, you know, I'm not saying it's getting harder to get into comics. But it's easier
to work in comics, but harder to get in the higher levels
right.
of comics.
The ante has been upped as far as like comics go, and like, you know, what we accept from the medium and whatnot, you know. And I personally don't think that Stan Lee, anything he's done that I've ever read ever translate well at all. And like, I'm sure that Stan Lee was amazing compared to some of the other, you know, writers back in the 50s and whatnot. But now. Oh man, I really just can't stomach anything he does. I think the first thing I ever read by him was Marvel was putting out the 2099 comics, and Stan Lee put out Ravage 2099. Anybody ever read that?
I did, and I don't remember a thing about it because I got issue one, and that was it.
I was...
So in other words, it was great.
I was a young man.
That was wonderful.
And I was utterly unemployed. I mean, this was my first shot at reading like Stan Lee. And, this was the father of modern Marvel comics. And, I was, as a kid, utterly unimpressed. Ravage was a terrible character. His comic was awful. The whole, everything about it just...
I don't remember the art being good either.
Terrible.
Well, let's break down some of the creations of Stan Lee. Like, let's look at X-Men. X-Men's great in concept form. But the X-Men weren't the big seller and didn't really take off when he was on it. It was much later when they got edgier and darker, right?
Yeah, little guy like named Wolverine.
I
took the X-Men into the
Look at the X-Men, that's a great idea. And actual writing wasn't as good on it.
Well, all the credit that he gets for Fantastic Four and and Spider-Man, I've heard and read stuff where guys like Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, the two respective writers of both those books, essentially claim that, they would hand in finished comics to Stan Lee and he would put words on him.
Yes. That was their style back then.
Is that a style or is that a guy that writes stuff on top of the story that you already wrote? You know what I mean? Like, is Stan Lee getting the assist here? Is he's getting credited as the writer for this?
Well,
guys are writing these books.
I think
these
the
guys
biggest
are all the story. This is all the narration. This is everything. This is what they do. When this guy gets a shot to do stuff on his own, it comes out awful, in my opinion. Everything I've ever read by him is terrible.
I think the biggest thing about Stan Lee is that people are they give him too much credit from a creative standpoint and not enough credit as a businessman, because where he was really smart and a lot of creators haven't been intelligent is that he got his name on legal paperwork that made him the creator for this, the creator for that. I think that's kind of something you're hitting up against, is that it was very, if not mutual, some people were bringing even more to the table than he was as far as the creation of these characters and who they are, but he was the one that was smart enough to get legal documentation saying that he was doing it, and that's why he's credited with so much.
And that's what matters. That's what counts.
Not to me. That's not what counts to me, man.
Well, morally, but legally,
all the work, then it's not fair. That's Stan Lee. You know what? You want to put those list of characters? Why don't you ask how many he created without Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko? How many of those characters did he create?
Can't think of one.
That's right. Right. These are the ones he's getting credit for.
Spider-Man.
Ravage 2099. That's all Stan Lee. Huh?
Yeah, how old was he when he wrote that? In his 60s?
is that the qualification now? Age? Can't write? Is that what you're saying, Chris Clark?
I am.
To a certain extent, though, when Stan was writing or taking part in the creative process for some of these characters with some of these issues, he was much closer in age to who was going to be writing. Now he is, even guys like us, he is twice or three times or even more the age of anybody he's going to be writing to. That gap, I think, is too much.
He's 60.
You think Kurt Vonnegut sucks because he's an old guy now? No, the guy produces like amazing work, and I'm just saying, like,
well, do you
saying Kurt Vonnegut's writing for like children, but hell, I don't think Mark Miller's writing for children either. I don't think Brian Bendis is writing for children. I think they're writing
they're not 80 something writing there. You can look at their age.
I don't think age is a factor. I don't think age is a factor, but
for a long time, man. Reading stuff. That stuff's terrible. The Stone Men from Saturn. That was Thor's first appearance. He fought the Stone Men from Saturn.
I did not know that.
That's retarded. You know what I'm saying? That's asinine.
Thor was made great by Williamson, wasn't it? Wasn't it Williamson?
Is that
that guy's name?
Was certainly like seminal.
That's kind of like
Simonson.
Simonson.
Yeah, I think Thor is another example of a character that he came up with that the idea was birthed when he was working on it, but the quality for that character came much, much later.
Yeah. So what we're saying
is he created it with Jack Kirby. Let's not forget that.
So what we're saying is like Stan Lee's good at conceptualizing a character.
Well, I think
and
it's too,
maybe
well,
not that great at writing.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that he's like a bit more of a controversial figure than everyone's willing to like admit. You know what I mean? I think what I'm saying is that maybe Stan Lee shouldn't get all the credit that he gets for. Maybe Stan Lee shouldn't like be as adored as he is because
Well, I think
I hate to be what have you done for me lately. You know what I'm saying? But like, what have you done on your own?
Well, I don't think it's for necessarily what have you done for me lately, because I think a lot of comic book fans aren't going to be buying anything that Stan Lee puts out anyway now. But I I don't disagree with you that other people that worked on those issues and worked on those characters should be getting more credit. But the problem is when Marvel Comics just wants to shove Stan Lee down your throat, how is the story getting out that these other characters are claiming more responsibility if the comic book company that owns all these characters is just giving you Stan Lee, Stan Lee, Stan Lee? So if Marvel really cared about their characters and who created what and did what, shouldn't they be pushing other creators' involvement?
Well, Joe seems to be really getting out there.
Well, you know,
the public guy.
I don't think, you know, not to be crass, but, you know, I don't think Jack Kirby can really say too much, you know, right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, you know what I mean? Steve Ditko doesn't want anything to do with the comic book industry. You know what I mean? Because of, like, how unfairly he was treated. I mean, those are pretty large statements, if you ask me. Well, not the statement that he's dead. But I know that, you know, Jack Kirby was huge into creator rights. You know what I mean? As far as, like, I'm concerned, Jack Kirby did stuff that, you know, Jack Kirby amazed no matter what. When his pencil was to the page, he was knocking him out of the park. And, you know,
right,
the quality of his writing may have come into question, you know, but I think, like, you know, if he was a major backbone to writing all those stories, I don't think his stuff changed very much. You know, his stuff remained, you know, goofball and, you know, over the top or whatever. But I mean, it was just anchored by, you know, a style that to this day, you know what I mean, hasn't been like, it's a fingerprint essentially of a style. You know what I mean? Like, people can copy it. You know what I mean? I mean, there's terms in comic books, you know, Kirby-esque, yeah, things like that, you know.
Well, why don't
Kirby,
you
Kirby dots stuff, you know what I mean? The guy,
yeah,
has put so much into, you know, the pantheon of comics, you know, the vocabulary of comics. You know, Jack Kirby has, like, you know, entered that stratosphere, you know what I'm saying? And Stan Lee is doing Stripperella.
That is quality.
Well, why is it that you think that they aren't mentioned in the same vein as Stan? Are you blaming Stan for this?
They didn't toe the line. Because you know, Jack Kirby said, you know, I don't give a crap, you know, if you're Marvel. I don't give a crap if you, you know, think you should own these characters. I should have some money here. I should have, like, creators' rights. We shouldn't have all of our stuff just taken away from us. You know, it's Jack Kirby never towed the company ledger. Jack Kirby was an artist, and I think it was, like, a lot harder for them to, you know, I think Jack Kirby hated Stan Lee. So what, are you going to have those guys together on a panel? You know what I mean? Like, one guy thinks the other guy ripped the other guy off, and the other guy is just more than happy to take all the credit in the world. You know, it's,
do you think it's people,
I think it's complicated,
want,
but I
don't, you think people want a figurehead? Because that's how, I mean, it's how I see Stan Lee. He's a figurehead for comics.
Kind of like a good face to put on Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't it? I mean,
because a lot of companies have that.
You know,
they have
saying?
Their figurehead.
If someone came up to Stan Lee and started talking to him about comics, you know what I mean? You think he knows what's going on?
I don't think people,
no.
I don't think people view him as the father of current comics, though. I think they view him just as the father for those iconic characters. I think they view him as, I mean, look at him. I don't think anybody's viewing him as the current for anything.
Yeah, but he just gets so much. It's not that I don't.
He's kind of like Bob Hope.
Would people, you diss him to his face if he walked in?
I diss Stan Lee to his
face? Yeah, if he walked in the door.
Of course not. No, of course not. Because, I recognize what he's done, but I'm saying, like, listen. Okay. Touched on the DC comics. Stan Lee recreates all this stuff.
Right.
Did you read any of those?
No, I didn't. That was a time when I wasn't collecting.
Okay.
My dark years.
They're wretched. And let me just give an example of, like, how and why I feel this is wretched. Stan Lee recreates Batman, right? His storyline is that it's set in Washington, D.C., in the slums of Washington, D.C., and there's a kid, you know, an African-American kid, you know, born in the ghetto of fucking Washington, D.C.
The ghetto.
And he's walking around with his mom and stuff, and they're worried about gang violence. Well, around the corner comes the gang, and the leader of the gang in the ghetto of Washington, D.C. is a 50-year-old white guy by the name of Hans Horgum, wearing a yellow jacket with the name Hans Horgum on the back and a big handprint. You know what I mean? And this guy is like, he beats the guy up, takes his groceries and his money, and then this guy becomes a professional wrestler. And then once he becomes a wrestler, he becomes the Batman, and then he also fights crime. And his, you know, the story is about him taking down Hans Horgum. Now, Hans Horgum is Stan Lee's representation of a guy from the ghetto of Washington, D.C.?
A white
this
guy?
Is like a, yes.
In his 50s.
Yes.
He's a politician.
How about you could get into a whole different argument about the fact that maybe that was a white man not wanting to put a black face on his major character. You could turn that into a whole,
like, his major villain.
Yeah, his major, well, not want to make a major
maybe
villain.
Maybe his origin shouldn't be from, you know, the streets of Washington D.C. You know what I'm saying? Like,
put it in a fake city.
It's a largely African American population. Is that not a fact? It is a fact. There's my man. This man knows what he's talking about. The Washington Redskins. Carolina beat the Ravens today, which was fantastic. Let's all not forget to give a big shout out to Julius Peppers and Steve Smith, because both of them did fantastic. Jake Loam had a career high in passes.
Your Carolina Panthers.
Fantastic.
He's also on top for passing this week.
Was he? Oh.
And of course, I didn't start him in my fantasy team.
Well, that's, you know.
Well,
Panthers, man.
I agree with you. That stuff that Stanley wrote for the DC stuff was just ass on a stick. I mean, it was terrible.
And he had, but it's not just that it was bad. There was so much of it. Like, he got Superman, Batman, Aquaman, The Flash, JLA. You know,
didn't
he
get Catwoman?
All this stuff.
Didn't he write some Catwoman redo?
I don't know if she was involved in the Batman story. Maybe, but all I know is that stuff was wretched, and he got a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? He got, you know, they're just like, yeah, reimagine our universe. We'll give 6 one shots for $4.99. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is ridiculous. And you know what? And I think it was more of like creators lined up to work with him. You know what I mean? Than it was, you know, hey, this is for you guys because we think it's good. You know, can't someone
isn't that read
it and be like, wow, this is awful?
That's a lot of comics in general, though. You have a lot of comics that are all about the hoopla and the event and not about the quality. I realize you don't really like the age argument that Chris and I were using, but I think he's not capable of being in touch enough to write something for a modern audience.
It's the touch thing. It's not the age. It's just he's not in touch.
He's going to keep being out. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are going to see... And I'm glad we have a few minutes left to talk about this. Because people are going to see Who Wants to Be a Superhero. And they're going to think about comics. And they're going to think that these people are the people that buy comics and love comics. And these people are like an embarrassment. Not just to themselves, but to me. I'm embarrassed watching Who Wants to Be a Superhero because of how stupid and insipid it is.
It was horrible.
I'm embarrassed by Stan Lee and the portrayal of like superheroes like that. Say that again.
Actually watch Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
I've seen an episode. I mean, I certainly like couldn't not watch it.
Right.
You know,
I mean, you had
saying?
To at least watch
to, like,
one.
Check it out. Yeah, and it's...
But isn't all reality TV embarrassing and stupid?
No. Don't go there.
Show, man. Oh my God, it's so good. There was a guy, the Iron Enforcer, who had this big fake gun, you know what I mean? He's walking around, he's like, yeah, after I do this, I'm gonna head over to Iraq, take care of some of that stuff, because, you know, someone needs... You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, people are dying. You know what I mean? People are fucking dying. Don't joke about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, my stupid fake plastic, I'm going to go to Iraq, you know.
Which brings us to Frank Miller.
And it's like, oh, man.
No.
But,
don't
you
get
know
off
what
subject.
I'm saying? Like, this is going to represent comics. This is what people think about. You know what I mean? Stan Lee isn't just, oh, he's a happy old guy in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Let's all pat him on the back. You know, they're giving him TV shows, man. Stan Lee's getting TV shows. That man doesn't have any business doing it. Do you think that the Stan Lee comic is going to sell? Do you think that Feedback is going to be worth a crap? That's the name of the character that won the show, by the way. Feedback.
Feedback?
Yes, Feedback. And Dark Horse is going to put out a Feedback one-shot. Do you think that's going to do anything? It's going to be successful in any way, shape, or form?
Well,
anyone?
No. Well, the thing, no, they'll probably lose money. They'll lose money on that.
A season of a show that they invested, you know, millions of dollars in, that people had meetings about advertising to be like, I want to sell my stuff on your show because I think it's going to be good. So much money is just wasted on this, on Who Wants to Be a Superhero, and it's garbage, man. It's embarrassing, man. I don't want that to be associated with comics, with what we do.
Yeah, but I think the thing is every medium of entertainment has stuff like that. I mean, every music, certain people aren't going to view as quality or a good representation of the music business, and every TV show is like that. I think that's a small piece of the puzzle. And
yeah,
yet,
but this is
the
stuff that's getting the exposure, though. You know
right.
what I mean? As
yeah.
good as the
I
stuff
agree.
That's in there, this is what people are seeing. You know, this is what people are
so
offered.
What's the solution?
People are going to watch that, and they're going to think comics are as stupid as they ever were. You know? They're going to think comics are still, you know, the adolescent male power fantasies that, you know, all this stuff, you know, started from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think
that comics and creators have gone out of their way, you know, to like take what's good about that kind of stuff, you know what I mean, and then make it contemporary and successful, and you know, just pushing the medium itself, pushing the idea of graphic storytelling. Some of this stuff is, man, Brian Hitch's stuff and Mark Miller's stuff on the Ultimates, that stuff is like almost stills from a movie, you know what I mean, the most exciting stills you could possibly have, you right know?
So to break this down for a second, it sounds to me like what you said, like what you're kind of what you're getting at, is that you think Stan Lee needs to be paying the industry back a little bit and showing it more respect, and maybe that's the problem that you have with him,
or just hang it up and not show his face on TV or
I'll
in
take
print.
B. I'll take yeah. I look, I'm not saying the guy doesn't have his place. I'm saying he shouldn't be up front.
I agree.
But in order to say that, are you saying that other people need to take that away from him, or you think that as a guy looking for a paycheck, he should be saying,
because there's going
to
be idiots in Hollywood
money
that don't know anything about comics and hear the name Stan Lee and think that's worth something, so they're going to give him money to do it. No, that's fine, but I'm saying Dark Horse shouldn't support this. Marvel shouldn't support, you know what I mean? Make them do another webcomic that's going to, you know, go nowhere, you know?
So you think the industry should step away from him a little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And, you know, and it's not a question of respecting his credentials, which are, you know, like I've said, through the roof.
Right.
It's a question of, you know, questioning his ability to write a story worth paying for.
You know, Adam is about to try a new little ditty here where he asks us a bunch of questions that we have no idea what they are.
A little rapid fire.
That's
action,
a little rapid
like
fire, if you want to call it something. If you want to call it
and
something.
And I think we do.
But Adam's got some questions that he wants to ask Brian and I, and I'd like to answer some of them.
You better answer. What character, with or without their own title, deserves one the most? Brian, go.
I'd really like to see Winter Soldier, or Bucky, as we used to call him in the old school days, get his own title at Marvel. I think Brubaker's stuff with him was excellent in Captain America. I think you could really flesh out a title with him.
Well, now my answer is going to suck compared to that, because I'd like to change it to the Winter Soldier. But no, I was going to say, believe it or not, and I'm sure everyone's going to hate me, but I love Gambit. Where's Gambit, huh? I know he was huge in the 90s. I know no good writers ever got a hold of him, but Gambit was great, man. I loved Gambit.
Now, do you want Apocalypse's Horseman Gambit,
no,
or you want
God,
old school
no,
take that
know
away
I don't
Gambit
know what's going on with any of that garbage. I want Gambit, the card-throwing guy that
Raging
hates Wolverine. Cajun. Where it's, you know, his dichotomy between Wolverine and the X-Men was fantastic. Next question.
What do you think is the most overhyped comic on the market right now, Flacco?
What do I think is the most... Oh, that's easy. It's Wolverine Origins. It doesn't live up to expectations, even if your expectations are a crappy comic. It's not even that good. It's not good enough to be a crappy comic.
That's a really good answer. I'm going to go with 52. It was supposed to be a really big deal. Ooh. From DC. And
burn!
As we said in the earlier segment, it's, you know, it's not even hitting 300 at this moment, and it should be a little bit bigger for how much they put into it.
Here's a question, as they all are. Are multiple covers really needed, and are they wanted, Brian?
Not by me.
No.
Every time I look at what's new each week, I see 18 covers for Red Sonja and 25 for whatever Transformers issue's coming out, and I just think, why not put out a new decent comic instead of more covers of the same crap?
Follow-up question, which one do you buy?
Actually, none. Not even the Civil War ones.
Yeah, I mean, as a retailer, I guess, yeah, I'm really happy that people want to pay $20 for a cover that's different than the other one. But, you know, as a fan, I really think that that's lame and stupid. I mean, what are we talking about? You know, make a cover and that's it. Don't charge people tons of money for it. It's
I can understand changing the covers for reprints, but for the same freaking issue, no.
I'd like to throw in that it really upsets me when I go to a comic shop and find a new issue of something that I was really enjoying coming out, only to find that it was an issue that I'd already read with a different cover.
And let's get some variant. You know, if we're going to do a variant, can we get somebody that's good? Do we need a Michael Turner variant? Give me a break, man. That's vomitous. He is. You know, I would rather see Ed Benes do the JLA covers than Michael Turner. I'd rather see a 4-year-old do covers than Michael Turner.
But borrowed Michael Turner on another podcast.
From the dark side, which comic do you wish was not being published, Brian?
a lot of them. I'm going to go right off with the Villains United Secret Six mess that they're still continuing from Infinite Crisis and 1 year later. I really like Gail Simone. I like her work on Birds of Prey, but I think it's just crap and going nowhere.
Well, I don't, I hate to sound like a broken record, so I'm not going to say Wolverine Origins, even though I'd like to say Wolverine Origins, and I will say Wolverine Origins. But also, another book that probably shouldn't be put out in the market is Mystery in Space. I mean, I know this book is just going to, like, go nowhere, or no one's going to read it or anything like that, but I think that's my point. Why is this book being written? You know, and also anything by Bruce Jones, because good Lord, is that guy meandering and awful. His run on Nightwing's awful, Dead Man's awful, OMAC is awful, awful, awful. Anything Bruce Jones does, I'll say that.
Honorable mention to the 18 Spider-Man and 25 X-Men X-Men titles on the market every month.
New Excalibur. Give me a break.
All right. Since you'll enjoy treating them so poorly, Flacco, which character do you feel is being treated the worst by their publisher?
It's Wolverine. It's easy. It's here's the most popular character in the biggest comic book company in the world, and you don't have a single good writer or a single good artist on him. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. This book would be the number one book on the market if you had a good writer and a good artist. But for some reason, they think that he's, like, he'll sell. Wolverine will sell without a good writer and artist. So it's a cost-effective measure, essentially. Yeah, you know,
it's sad,
instead
but
of there being,
kind
there are no good
point.
Wolverine stories, people, you're going to have to read Grant Morrison's run on the X-Men or Joss Whedon's on Astonishing. And Wolverine has been using very sparingly in the Astonishing run. So there are no good Wolverine stories, people. So, like, if someone ever made a good Wolverine comic, that's what I would like to see. Please treat Wolverine a little bit better.
I'll certainly agree with that. I'll go with Distinguished Competition for my choice. Nightwing has been treated like crap by DC for a couple of years now.
I should have said Nightwing.
Devin Grayson should not be allowed to write comics, period.
No, she shouldn't, man.
Much less comics that I want to read. I thought the Bruce Jones run 1 year later was terrible. Cool. I actually said at one point to somebody who's also a Nightwing fan that they should have just killed him instead of having Bruce Jones write his comic. I'm really hopeful that Marv Wolfman's going to turn
Mercy
that comic
killer.
Around, but
you
since it's only one
Someone
issue,
kill
in,
Bruce Jones.
since Marv Wolfman is only one issue in, I'm still saying we need better treatment for Nightwing.
Oh yeah,
because Outsider
Wolfman.
Sucks too.
He's the answer. Let me tell you what,
Flacco, if you had to give an answer to a question that I said could not be Wolverine, what would it be?
The last question?
No, just any question in general.
Oh. I see. I get it. Okay. You're making fun of me.
Okay. Not at all.
Who currently has the worst costume in comics? Brian.
Well, I mean, you could go with the obvious and say that the Hulk's been wearing the same purple pants for 3 decades. I'm going to go with Wonder Woman, surprisingly enough. I mean, I like hot, half-naked women as much as the next guy, even if they're drawn and animated. But does the iconic woman character for DC Comics have to be dressed like a hooker the entire time?
The worst dressed superhero in comics is Wolverine, no doubt. that's a tough question. I was going to say Martian Manhunter. But they just redesigned him. But I'm not really a big fan.
Like,
but it's, God, it's so much better than the giant collar and the He-Man buckle chest thing and then Speedos and then flippity pirate boots and then a giant collared cape with a rope that ties it together. Could this guy be more alien? Look at how he dresses. You know what I mean? Like, this guy is obviously from a different planet.
The bad thing is with him, though, is that he doesn't actually need someone to design a costume because it's all morphed anyway.
Right.
So
yes.
Couldn't he come up with something
what?
Better than
yes.
that?
Yes, that makes so much sense. It's ridiculous.
He should just be naked.
I'm going to go with Silver Surfer.
That's a bad
moving
choice.
On now.
Bad
with his,
choice.
With his tidy-whities.
You know, Superman. Moving on. Where?
Superman. That's huge.
Where is the work from? Fill in an artist here, Flacco.
It's Steve Rude. Where's Steve Rude, man? I love Steve Rude. He is awesome. He did an amazing run on Nexus, and then he did a bunch of... miniseries for Marvel a little bit. Like, recently he did like a Spider-Man Lifeline and a Thor Asgard something, and most recently he put out something called The Moth for DC Comics. And Steve Rude is just, he's a prodigy, man. He's He's like a student of like old school comics. He's got all that Jack Kirby energy crackling under him, but he also has like the talent to be like almost photorealistic, you know? So when he draws someone wearing clothes, it looks like they're wearing clothes. It looks like the folds in their clothes are the clothes that people, you know, that are in people's clothes when they're wearing clothes. I think that some of these artists just need seminars on how to draw people's clothes. You know what I mean? Because at least it looks like they draw them naked, and then they draw these lines that represent wrinkles.
I think
in
that's
the creases.
Why everybody wears tights, so they don't have to teach that class.
Good Lord.
I'm going to go with Christopher Priest. We talked about him earlier in a different segment, and he's written some really entertaining stuff, and you just don't see anything from him lately. I wonder what he's up to.
Brian is so right about that. His run on Black Panther is the best run on Black Panther.
And
ever.
Of course, to go against the room, he also did some funny stuff with Deadpool.
I'd really like to see something new by Stan Lee. Anyway.
Where is that guy? What has he been up to?
Lord.
Has Frank Miller lost it?
I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you why. Because I just saw the trailer for 300, and it looks amazing. So, despite the fact, and yes, it looks unbelievably amazing.
I 300 mean, looks, does look incredible.
It looks amazing.
But of course, and that's not him currently.
So it's hey man, he's involved. So between that and Sin City, you know what I mean? Frank Miller still got some good stuff going on despite the wretched car wreck that is All-Star Batman and Robin and the Batman versus the Taliban. Batman versus Al-Qaeda and Holy Terror. It's Batman versus Al-Qaeda. And I cannot tell you, like, just if Frank Miller was driving down a road and the road led to stories about, you know, superheroes fighting real life threats like terrorism, I would be standing in the middle of the road with lights trying to flag him down. Please don't go this way. This is terrible. So, Frank Miller, his a lot of his comic book work stuff lately, I think, has been a little disappointing. DK2, I think, I don't know what your opinion on that is, but
I
for the most part, it disappointed everyone. I don't think I'm in that category, but I'm gonna say Frank Miller hasn't lost it, but I think he needs to make something amazing in comic book form.
Frank Miller is a nutbag. I tell you what, for Frank Miller to do something for me, what he needs to do is write a single issue of any comic and have every woman not appear as a whore and every man not be a lunatic.
I think he just idealizes women. I think he
idealizes
women, like,
them
sexually.
As a whore.
Sexually. Hey, look, you don't look at a woman and think of sex? Come on. We're adults here. Huh? What? You don't? You know you do. And he just doesn't hide it. You know what I mean? All he does is not put them in skimpy costumes.
That depends.
I think some of his stuff is... I don't think Frank Miller's lost it, no.
So, gonna wrap this up. What is your favorite comic right now, Flacco? Well, no, not Flacco. You've been going. Brian. I don't care what you think. Brian.
It's really early in the series, but I'm a big Brad Metzler fan. Loved Identity Crisis, which we'll touch on in a later podcast. But I really like his stuff for Justice League of America so far. It's getting some flack on the net. But I think it's been great, even with the addition of Roy Harper, who sucks balls. I'm gonna go with Justice League of America at the moment. Hopefully his entire run will be as good as the first three issues.
Yeah, dude, I never cared about Red Tornado in my life before I read JLA. So, I think the best book for my money is All Star Superman.
That's another excellent.
The amount of story and ideas that Grant Morrison packs in each issue, despite the fact that it's bi-monthly, and the quality of Frank Quitely's work is just through the roof. It's the best Superman story I've ever read. No doubt. It's the best I've ever read.
It's probably the best I've ever stuck with and read, because I think it's the only one.
The best recommendation I can give All-Star Superman is I can't stand Superman, and I love those issues.
Yeah, that's the same boat I'm in, man.
Well, this is what we've been waiting to see our whole life. I mean, we've all been waiting for
Luthor to kill him all my life, not necessarily.
Hey, he's getting there. He's getting closer. Well, those are both DC, fellas. DC wins.
Way to go, DC. Now,
it's kind of if Civil War came out on time, we both probably would have said that.
I'm not allowed to say Astonishing. I'm going to make fun of for like a Wolverine again, so.
Non-DC or Marvel favorite book out right now? Flacco, you can go.
All right. Well, and now that you mentioned it, I don't know. No, I'm probably going to say I think the comic that's impressed me the most is Mouse Guard, man. I know that Wizard was like hyping it up, and that's really like how initially I got into it. That kid's great, man. Peterson, I can't remember his first name, but he is a fantastic writer. He's a fantastic artist. And that book just like, it really, you know, the format of it is like a small little square. It's great. It's a fantastic book.
Brian. I'm going to be really lame and say that probably the independent thing that I'm picking up most regularly has been the new G.I. Joe stuff.
Boo!
You know, being a child of the 80s.
They're making fun of me.
Being a child of the 80s, I was really interested in it coming out. And I've been picking it up.
David Peterson's the guy who does Mouse Guard.
Not to trample over your part.
No,
of
trample.
No, not at all.
Let's trample over it, Adam. Let's.
Snake Eyes would kick all your asses.
Snake Eyes is awesome. I got nothing against Snake Eyes, y'all. Just so we're all clear. I don't have anything against Snake Eyes or Storm Shadow. Every other character in G.I. Joe is worthless.
I don't know. Scarlet's pretty hot.
Yeah.
What about Destro? No. He's got the mask.
I think I'm going to end that one on Scarlet's pretty hot.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, that's what's not.
Hope that was fantastically entertaining.
That was our first attempt at rapid fire.
Yeah, it wasn't very rapid.
Not as rapid as we
not
like.
As rapid as we expected it to be, but
I'm gonna have a bell next time.
Yeah.
Dang.
That'll be good.